I'm 50. How could I be in menopause? And he said, well, that's usually when it happens. I said, but I'm a young 50.
Hey, you're listening to Cocktails and Conversation. I'm your host, Erica, and joining me is my partner in crime, Robin. Each episode, we'll provide you with our unique perspectives on topics ranging from the day's news, life experiences, motherhood, beauty, fashion, relationships, and so much more. You can think of us as the urban view of two with a twist, always giving it to you straight with no chaser. So go on and pour a glass of your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy today's podcast. Miss Robin, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. And yourself, Miss Erica?
Girl, I'm over here having like a private summer, okay?
Look, can we talk about the menopause? I've named it the menopause.
So here's the thing. I don't even think I'm going through the menopause right now. I think okay. I am perimenopausal.
Okay.
But I am getting intermittent personal summers.
Yes. I know well about those personal summers. So I've gone to my 50th year OBGYN appointment, I guess is what you call it, where they're like, you know, you got this, you need to take this test and blah, blah, blah. So this physician, first time I've ever seen him, announces that I have menopause. Well, he thinks I have menopause. And I said,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. This ain't life, girl. I can't.
Let me tell you. So I had to steal my daughter's little fan that sits on her desk because mine broke.
Mm-hmm.
And my poor husband, I know he doesn't know how to dress for a bed. He doesn't know if he should come butt naked or in a snowsuit. I know he's just like, I'm just over this. just like, I'm over it.
Girl, how did this happen, Erica, to us?
I don't know. I know for me, I just, you know, either went to bed or woke up one day and all of a sudden I was hot.
So I've heard that you can get hormone treatment that will help with the hot flashes. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine actually went to do it. I haven't followed up with her after she had it done, but yeah.
I may have to look into that because that is not fun at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, getting
hair everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Getting old is definitely interesting. There are perks and then there are, you know, I guess there are pros and cons to everything, right? So
Absolutely.
I just need my body to decide what it's gonna do. So
it ain't cute.
No, it is not cute at all. So there is just a lot to talk about, a lot that's going on. Today's show theme is just going to be 21st century relationships. And you told me about the Red Table Talk episode that I needed to watch. I think it was about polyamory.
Yes.
And I had never heard of polyamory before, so I had to Google it. Thank God for Google. Okay.
Yes.
So polyamory is the act of having an intimate relationship with more than one person at the same time. And a polyamorous person might have or might be open to having multiple romantic partners. So I'm like, okay, well, what's the difference between polyamory and polygamy? Because I am familiar with polygamy. So the difference between the two is that polygamy involves being married to multiple partners. Polyamory does not. So you tell me if, the way I understand it, a polyamorous person could be in a relationship with one person. So you can have a boyfriend, girlfriend, and then you have another boyfriend, girlfriend, and your boyfriend, girlfriend can have boyfriend, girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
So, but is okay. But then,
if y'all can see Erica's face right now,
I'm trying to figure this out. So then, is polyamory the same as having an open relationship, like swingers? Or
that is what it puts me in the mindset of. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now on the Red Table Talk, I think I'm a Gammy fan because I was mm-hmm. with her and I'm like, it's just too much.
Yeah.
So Willow announced, she is polyamorous. Mm-hmm. She wants to love who she wants to love when she wants to love it. Mm-hmm. Jada was eating it all up and it made mm-hmm. me think about her entanglement. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. is that how she justifies it? But it just seems too complicated for me, Robin. I mean, you tell me what you think about the whole polyamory, polyamorous, because it makes my head hurt.
Just say you're a cheater and people know, because it's like, I'm married to, okay, so on the show, there was a man, he was mm-hmm. married to someone mm-hmm. he had, and his girlfriend was on the show. Wife knows about the girlfriend. Girlfriend has a friend that she highly likes and wants to introduce another friend into all of the mix of this. It just makes no sense to me. I mean, we are a greedy society mm-hmm. and you are now introducing even more greed into what we should really be honing in, you know, to look at single relationships, to look at monogamy, because that is biblically mm-hmm. how we are supposed to be, right? When Willow chimed in about her relationships, she said it got too emotional, right? Mm. So people were too emotionally involved and jealous of the other partner in the relationship, so she had to break away from it. Duh. I mean, it's a relationship. Nobody is going to freely watch you give somebody else attention, especially when it's their time for attention. It's a whole hot mess. And I am with Gam. I am team Gam 100% on this. She was like, I just don't understand.
Right.
Now, what I did find interesting about Gam is she's been married, I think this is her third marriage, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The first one was very short. Then she had another long one. Now she's been married for a few years now. And she said with her husband, they have had conversations of threesomes and inviting someone else into the bedroom. Although they've never done it, you know, that has been a conversation that has happened in their marriage. And I think that's an okay conversation. I'm not saying I would do it, mm-hmm. but to be open with your partner about their sexual needs, I think is extremely important in any relationship.
I agree.
But this thing that they just made up a new name for, it thoroughly confused. I couldn't even do a threesome because I'd be up there mad that you're doing something I thought I should be doing. I just couldn't do it. So you're in a whole relationship with somebody? Not for me, Sam. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I guess, you know what, I'm with you, because how do you divide your time, right? How do you divide your time? Well, mm-hmm. so unless your partner also has a partner, so when you're with your other person, they could be with their other person, but then why not just be with the other person? It's too confusing. See, you know, I was that girl when I dated. Well, let me say it this way. When I was dating, I made it very clear to the guys that I was dating that I'm dating people, right? So I'm dating you, I'm dating you, I'm dating you. But when we became boyfriend, girlfriend, it uh-huh. was strictly platonic. Even when uh-huh. I dated, it wasn't necessarily sexual in nature. I was going out on dates with people
right.
whose company right. I enjoyed.
You were single.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But then when it was time to... wouldn't even say when it's time to make a commitment, but when I liked one person more than the others, then that's when you decide, okay, I want to be with Billy Bob, you know, and you are faithful, monogamous with Billy Bob. To me, monogamy is easy. You know, I got one guy, I'm right here. I know he's hopefully not going anywhere. I don't have to worry about any diseases or anything. It just gets too, I don't know. So let me ask you this though. Do you think people gravitate towards polyamory because they don't want the commitment, or is it commitment?
So this is what I didn't understand. Why are you getting married? Mm-hmm. What's the point in getting married if you're going to be with other people? Where does that fit in? Marriage is a commitment. Marriage is a covenant. Forget a commitment. It's a covenant, right? And so why do that if you know, and she knows, you're going to be seeing other people? And the wife was seeing another man too. I'm like,
God, I know.
People annoy me, but
not that they annoy you. You get on my nerves.
Let's not even talk about the gas situation, but so why are you marrying someone knowing you're going to be seeing other people? I don't get it. What's the commitment? Where's the covenant? There is none.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So, you know, to go back, when I was doing, you know, my Google research, I also came across this term. It's called a unicorn. And it's a unicorn in a poly relationship. So the way they define this is that a unicorn is a person who is invited into the couple's relationship to play. And the couples can make demands, but the unicorn can't do anything that would, you know, cause any type of inconvenience with the couple. So is that like
right?
I'm just so confused. I'm so
Christian. What's his name? Christian. What's the name of that book?
Shades of Gray.
Some 50 Shades of Gray mess.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. Is this a millennial thing, or is polyamory something that's been around for a while?
Yeah, it's called cheating. I mean, people, the difference is your partners know. That's your partners do know. So I guess I can kind of respect that a little bit, because you're not really stepping out on people. You're being straightforward and honest, although a lot of men are straightforward and honest about that. But I don't understand why we need this. Why is this a thing? Why are you creating new terms?
Right.
We need Jesus.
Oh my God. So let me ask you, holy ocean. Just dunk all your asses up in there.
Ouch.
So if your child or children came to you and said, "Mom, I'm in a polyamorous relationship," how would you respond?
I didn't raise you that way.
So did you, but you know, so let's think about this though. Did we raise our children to be monogamous?
Is that something that you teach?
Okay.
I don't know if it's something that you teach, but it's something you example for them, something you, you know, you provide that example. If that happened, you always love your children, right? I tell my kids, you could do anything on this earth, mommy will always love you. Always. I don't care. But I would probably be knocking some people over the head, like, come on, dude, don't. But these millennials are so different, Erica. They are so fluid and free, loving. I mean, we thought the 70s and the hippies were doing something. They ain't got nothing on these kids.
They're on a whole nother level.
You know, I want folks to be happy. I want them to be happy, but I want you to think about your choices. You know, is this really something that is promoting a good, healthy environment for yourself? Mental health, right? Because like I said, I couldn't even be in a threesome. I would be sitting over there in the corner with my hands folded talking about, she better hurry up. Because I just couldn't do it. And I don't know if that's how I was raised or or what it is, but I just, I don't get it. What would you say if one of the kids came to you?
That's a really good question. I don't know. So it was funny, as I was preparing for, you know, our recording tonight, I was talking to my husband and I was kind of running through like what we're going to talk about. And he was like, "You're going to talk about that? You're square." And I'm like, I got offended by that. I'm like, "What, what the hell do you mean I'm square? I'm not square." And he was like, "No, you know, I mean, that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying that you're conservative." And I'm like, "Well, am I really conservative, or am I more of a traditionalist when it comes to relationships?" Mm-hmm. Because when I think about being conservative, I think about, well, I can't even say that, because I think about it as judging, right? And I'm not judging anybody, because mm-hmm. to your point, you love who you love. You know, you do what you want to do. But I do have very strong morals and values, strong Christian morals and values, and based on my religious beliefs, God made man and woman to be together, a pair, not a group to be together. Now, again, to kind of go back, if my kids were to announce, I think I'm with you, I will love them no matter what. And, you know, just make sure that they're making the right decision. I don't think I'd be in the corner like cheering them on. Because, I mean, you know, relationships are complicated when it's just two people in a relationship. Yes, so to your point, Erica, to add more to that makes it even more complicated. And then I started thinking about, well, what happens when one person or two people in a relationship decide that they want to have children? How do you bring children into this? And then does that become polygamy? Or again, I'm just so confused.
Okay. Like Graham, she was sitting there like, "Jada, WTF, why are we talking about this?"
Yeah.
And she said something really strong to Willow. I don't remember what it was. She was like, "I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but this is some crazy ish."
Well, I think she was saying that to her, what it looked like is that you just want to have sex. Like, this is all based off sex. And, you know, it kind of goes back to being in a relationship. Like, sex is a component of it. It is not the only thing. And there are other benefits to being with a partner, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm, you know, I just, girl, look, I'm not hip. Maybe I am square and I'm just going to embrace my squareness. I'm just gonna embrace it and love the squareness, because I just can't
embrace your squareness, sis. Because look, I don't think we're square. I just think we have a different perspective. And it's a more moralistic perspective, right? I'm not saying millennials don't have morals, because they definitely do, but they also, they're changing the game, right? They're changing the game at work.
Yeah,
they're changing the game on their lifestyles and how they live, their sexuality. But maybe we changed the game and we just didn't realize it.
Could be.
You know, because I'm sure there were certain things I did. My mother was like, "Jesus, Lord, have mercy." Gasoline draws. This girl got gasoline draws. So, you know, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I am an old 50.
Forget that young 15. I'm old. So now let's talk about, you know, traditional relationships, right? And, you know, just watching the Red Table Talk, doing my Google research, it really had me thinking about, you know, traditional relationships and where do traditional relationships have their place within the 21st century. So, you know, and also just thinking about like traditional roles, gender roles within a relationship. And it had me thinking, is it possible in a modern world if traditional relationships can exist, or are they a thing of the past? So when you think about, when you look, think about your parents' relationship, and I think that's where I started. No, really my grandparents' relationship. I was, again, talking to Byron and I'm like, you know, they did model traditional relationships. My grandfather was the primary breadwinner. My grandmother worked, but the money that she made, I'm assuming, went towards you know, things for the kids, you know, my mom and her sisters as they were growing up. And then her money was kind of like her money, although she probably did things to benefit the household. Mm-hmm. She wasn't responsible. I don't believe she was responsible for paying the mortgage and the car notes and car insurance and things like that. And mm-hmm. then when I look at my parents' relationship, their relationship was pretty traditional too. My dad was a primary breadwinner. My mother, she worked in the schools. You know, she was a teacher's aide, and then she became a Head Start teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, her money paid, you know, the little bills that my mom had. She probably paid some utility bills. And then the rest of it kind of went, you know, towards me and my sister. You know, things that we wanted to do, if we wanted to get our hair done or she wanted to get her hair done, like that was her money, her pocket change, for lack of a better word, where uh-huh. my dad took care of like the bigger ticket items. So, but then when I looked at my relationship with my husband, and you tell me, you know, if the same was true when you were married, I mean, we had to have a two income household because Byron wasn't balling like that in the beginning, you know? Uh-huh. So with that, when you look at gender roles, you know, I don't know. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I can't say that we model traditional gender roles where uh-huh. you have, you know, the man as the head of the household in terms of like footing all of the bills.
Yeah.
We kind of split things equally. Well, uh-huh. maybe not equally,
uh-huh. equally. I think that's pretty much how people are these days. One, mm-hmm. you just can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
When our parents were, you know, raising us, yes, it was expensive for them, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But you know, gas wasn't $4.
Girl,
it was like 99 cents. Okay. Mm-hmm. But their salaries weren't also as much probably as we make. So I'm gonna go back like you did to my grandparents. I was actually sharing the story with somebody the other day, how they are my model for mm-hmm. relationships. And I'm not saying my parents were a horrible model, but you know, my grandfather worked at Ford. He took care of the bills. He had his set of issues. He was an alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
But he recovered from it. My grandmother never really had a job like in an office or anything like that. She was a baker, a caterer, so she would have those kind of jobs and that would bring in money.
Mm-hmm.
At least as far as I remember, I was the youngest grandchild, so that's as far as I remember. But I had the opportunity as a youngest grandchild of spending probably the most time with them because mm-hmm. my parents both worked. My sister was at school, so they would pick me up. And, you know, during the summers, they do Meals on Wheels and I ride around with them and do that. And I got to see their relationship. She definitely was the boss, honey. She was the boss. And he let her have that. So mm-hmm. he would probably bring the money home and give it to her and she would take care of the bills, right? Mm-hmm. She would write everything out and ration his portion out and do whatever. But he loved her, Erica. He loved her
mm-hmm.
and respected her and was chivalrous to her. And it was just a beautiful relationship. It worked. It wasn't perfect, you know, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But so much to the point that when she died, she was a lot younger when she died. He passed away at 99. She passed away, I think she was 67, maybe a little younger. But he stayed with her in the church all night long while her body was laying in state.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to leave her until that casket closed. Mm-hmm. And that is the most memorable thing to me about, and other stuff about their relationship, that's how much he loved her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I want a man like that. I want somebody to treat me to have that same emotion. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, you ain't got to watch my dead body, but you know, that same emotion for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then move forward to my parents, less of a traditional relationship. My mother always taught us be independent, have your own savings account and your own money.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the downfall of my marriage, but mm-hmm. that's what she taught me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, her and my father, that worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, you know, issues there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the model I lived with growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I go to my marriage, I definitely was like, this is my money. I'm going to do what I want to do with it. Blah, blah, blah. Of course, I'm going to help you pay the bills. But it was a split, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what our mortgage was, but he paid half, I paid half. And I don't think there was any bill that he paid more than I did. I mean, his mm-hmm. car note was more than mine because he drove an exotic car. But there was like I'm going to take care of the insurance. No, here's my half. I always had to come up with my half. But then he wanted to manage Robin's other as well. And that's where I had an issue with. I was like, I go to work every day. I can do what I want to do. Not the attitude a wife should have, ladies. I'm just going to put that out there. I learned. But it was what it was, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a non-traditional as far as income and things. But, you know, we went to church together. And I think that's an important part of a traditional relationship. Mm-hmm. We did things together. We traveled together. You know, I just think, and I had this conversation not too long ago, too, with somebody. I didn't let him be the head of my household, which he's supposed to be or feel like. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I'm like, but you asked me for half the bills. So how are you going to be the head if you ask for half the bills? But that was a thing within me. I had to grow out of that. So I think where we both were in our marriage, where you are in your marriage, most couples operate that way. You just can't afford to do it with one person unless they're like a doctor, an attorney, or something like that, because we do want suburban homes for our children, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to live in a city per se. Mm-hmm. We want them to go to the best of schools. We want all these things. And to do that, we have to work as a team to get that accomplished. Unless, like I said, he is a Portia's husband, fiance, whatever that is.
Girl, yeah, we're going to get to her in a second. So you know what? But you bring up a good point, though. And, you know, again, that was something that I was talking to Byron about, is that because there's some aspects of our marriage that aren't traditional in terms of, you know, he is not the primary breadwinner in the household. You know, there have been times in our relationships when I've made more money than he has and times when he's made more money than I have.
Same here.
Right. Definitely. So, but we did talk about, you know, what our gender roles were in the relationship and how the man is the head.
Yes.
And, you know, very vulnerably and candidly, he did mention that there were times that he felt as if I did not treat him as if he were the head of the household. And it really made me think about that too. It's like, you know, now the one thing my parents didn't do, or I don't recall them doing it, or my mom doing it, was saying like, you go girl and you have your own little thing on the side. It was something that I did just intuitively. I think because I did watch my parents' relationship, and it wasn't like my dad was a money hoarder, you know, the one thing I can say about my father is that he made sure that we were very well taken care of. You know, he put our needs before his.
Yeah.
So my mom always drove the better car, the newer car, you know. My mom did not want for anything. But still, I felt that I had to make sure that I had things of my own because I saw around me where relationships didn't work out. Yeah. And because the man was the traditional head of the household, when the relationship dissolved, the woman didn't have anything.
Anything, yes.
And I was like, well, hell no, that ain't gonna be me.
Not me.
Not today. But I mean, it does make you think about that. And I, you know, it made me just look at, you know, some of my other friends and people that I hang around with, you know, have traditional, quote unquote, traditional relationships. Have they fizzled out? Can traditional relationships exist in a modern world? I don't know. And then what are we teaching our kids? Like, I look at what am I teaching my daughter? Teaching her how to be a boss. No, I'm just kidding.
I got one downstairs too that
You know, but it does, it makes you think about that too. And how do you still, you know, you want to honor your spouse, you want to respect your spouse, you want your spouse to feel valued. And how do you do that without losing who you are, right?
Yeah,
without
it's losing a balance.
It is. It is. So
yeah. I don't know. You know, that's a good question. I, like I said, I was not the greatest at it, so I could not never advise anybody on how to do that. But I think it all starts with, because when people get married, it's because we've been together for so long. I mm-hmm. love you. I love mm-hmm. you, right? But mm-hmm. I've been with you for 3 years, 5 years, either shit or get off the pot. Okay, mm-hmm. let's get married. And it may not be the right decision just because you've known somebody for that long. Mm. I always joke with a girlfriend of mine that these wedding dresses need to come with disclaimers and say, are you sure, girl? Make sure. Because people, I hate to say they rush into it, but they rush into it. And you're not really prepared for the emotional, the financial, all of that, I think. So knowing somebody is key, as much as you can know them. Somebody told me you can't really know anybody fully, and I don't think you can, but as much as you can know them. Like, you know, I snored, and my husband hated it. Mm-hmm. He was like, I can't sleep because of your snoring. I'm like, well, I can't stop snoring, so what are we going to do?
Would you prefer that I stop breathing? I mean, come right. on.
What would you like, sir? You know, so there's just things, and you need to know if you can put up with those things for 60 years.
You're right. I mean, marriage is about compromise, right? And it's mm-hmm. about give and take. And it's about, you know, sometimes putting the needs of your partner before your needs.
Right.
And then it's about balance too. You know, again, I think women, sometimes we get lost in the relationship, especially mm-hmm. when kids start to get involved too.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of my girlfriends, me included, you know, when you reach a certain point in life, you kind of lose your identity because you become, you know, Miles, Justin, and Maya's mom, you know, mm-hmm. or Byron's wife, or, you know, Kyle's mom, or basketball mm-hmm. mom, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it's like, well, wait a minute, I was Erica before I was all of that, or, you know, you were Robin before all of that, and you had wants and hopes and dreams and aspirations, and you mm-hmm. know, and it's like, well, wait a minute, hold on now.
And would you say, excuse me for the yawn, mm-hmm. women give up their dreams more than men in marriages?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. it does. It makes you, I don't know. It just makes you wonder. It made me look at that damn Kevin Samuels.
Wow. That man. I can't even watch him. It's sickening. Who is that egotistical?
So I will say this, and don't hate me with Robin.
Go ahead.
There is some truth to what uh-huh. he is saying in terms of when he talks to these young ladies or these women who want high value men. Mm-hmm. What he's asking is, well, what do you bring to the relationship? And I kind mm-hmm. of equate that. So I have a friend who she really wants to be a stay-at-home wife. Is she married now? She's divorced now.
Okay.
And children are grown, but she's always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
And didn't work with the first husband. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's in the dating scene now. And I remember, you know, she was talking about the, you know, type of guys that she would meet and, you know, what she's really looking for. And the guys that she was attracted to were the complete opposite of what she was looking for. So she wanted, you know, a guy that was, you know, stable in his career, successful, made over six figures so that she could stay home and work out and, you know, take care of the house and to take care of him. I mean, that's something that she really, really wanted. And I remember asking her, well, what do you bring to the table? Like, you want him to have, you know, 800 FICO score. You want him to have, you know, well into the six figures, almost seven figures bringing in. Mm-hmm. Like, well, what do you have? Like, is your shit together? Mm-hmm, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. you rocking a 550 FICO, you know. You know, you renting. You want him to own his own, but you renting your apartment that you could barely mm-hmm. afford, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So from that perspective, I do agree with him. Like, you want all of these things, but then what do you have to bring to the relationship outside of just good looks, right?
Right.
So you've got to attract, or what's the right word? You got to have something to offer.
Yes. And I get that. Mm-hmm. I think in any relationship, if mm-hmm. I just hate the term high valued man. I yes. get it, but all men have value. And so yeah. why are we making this separation between the two? But any man wants you to bring something to the table. Mm-hmm. I don't care if he works at the post office or he drives a truck for a living. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants, you know, trash.
Yeah.
Well, some men, but yeah. So I do understand that. I'm with that, but it's the way that Samuels does it. And if he feels like you have no value, mm-hmm. so you got the 550, you're 40 years old, you weigh 200 pounds and you're 5'3", he's going to push the buzzer down on you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, instead of him empowering that person, what's the word I'm looking for?
Dehumanizes, maybe?
Something like that.
Demeans them?
Yes. He demeans them. Instead of saying, okay, sis, this is what you need to do. Let's get your credit score up. You can do X, Y, Z to get your credit score up. And then, you know, you can stand to lose a little pound. Okay, I'm not mad if he says that. Let's get to the gym. Let's cut mm-hmm. back on the soda. Whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
But don't, you know, make them feel like they're dirt because they have some slips in the road. Like you did with the, I was about to call them strippers. They're not strippers. They're,
the girls,
the OnlyFans girls.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or just shift the focus, right? Like, why are you focusing on guys that are in this high income bracket? What about the average guy? And that was something that Byron and I talked about too. And I agree. I'm like, you know, I don't necessarily want a guy that is making, when I was dating, that was making all of that money. I wanted somebody that was either equally yoked with, uh-huh. you know, as I am,
uh-huh.
That had, you know, the same goals and aspirations, and we can build something together. And I think that's what I look at when I look at a relationship, is that I want to build something with you. I don't want to just walk into what you've built alone. I want us to do this together.
Yeah. And when you're walking into that, it's a lot of shit you got to deal with, right?
Girl,
I'm not coming home tonight because I got to work. Boy, bye. You know, I got to go on a business trip at the last minute. No, I'm going with you. So it's a lot you got to deal with
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about high value men, because, you know, according to Kevin Samuels, high value men exercise their options. So let's talk about that and what that uh-huh. means. And I was binge watching Real Housewives of Atlanta over the past couple weeks because I just needed to escape. And lo and behold, I think it was right around Mother's Day, Portia Williams posted, girl, she broke the internet for real, because she posted a picture of her and the ex-husband of a friend of the Real Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman, Fallon, was introduced on the show as a friend of Portia's.
Mm-hmm.
And she's married to this older gentleman of African descent who is mm-hmm. very successful. They show the gentleman on the show. They show their house. The woman, Fallon, is, you know, in a couple of episodes with them. And then the next thing we see is Portia's booed up with him and they're engaged.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that happen? So did Simon mm-hmm. exercise his option?
So according to Simon, Fallon mm-hmm. cheated. That's his story, and he's sticking to it. So according to him, she cheated.
So she exercised her option.
And so the divorce happened. Now, he didn't say if he cheated before that, but mm-hmm, that's what happened. That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then according to Portia, she and Fallon are not really friends,
mm-hmm.
but acquaintances that she's met her. She met them, I think, through Dennis, if I'm not mistaken. Dennis mm-hmm. is her baby daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that started. Actually, Simon and Dennis are good friends. Mm. That's a little creepy. That's a little creepy. But yeah, that's what happened. But the bigger thing is she really has just been dating this man for a month and now she's engaged to be married to him. People are saying her wedding ring looks almost like his ex-wife's, like identical to it, except Portia's looks cloudy. And that, you know, she just lost her marbles. Like, who does this?
Okay, now I'll say this in Portia's defense. I mean, if you were to look at my relationship, it went pretty fast. I knew my husband for a while. However, we didn't date very long. So, I mean, it okay.
Had you fast. Just broken up with somebody before you started dating him?
I was dating a whole bunch of people before I, you know.
So that's the other thing with Portia. Her and Dennis just broke up, right? And they were engaged to be married. Dennis is out in them streets as the hot dog man. And she called it off and she called it back on and she called it off again, right? So it's like, boo, relax. You don't have to have a man.
Right.
It's okay. You're beautiful. You are successful. You have money. You're funny. You're now conscientious. You know what the underground railroad is. Relax. Just relax.
But you know what? She went fast with Dennis too, though. Think about it.
She did.
Maybe.
And I joke with my friends, although I don't, it's not really a joke. I can fall in love easily. I do. I really do. But at the end of the day, I'm going to have some conscientious decisions about, I'm not marrying you and I didn't even met your granny. You know, I've just, it's just some things you just really need to think through. I think, in my old opinion of 50.
She was a young 50.
I am a young 50 on certain days.
Okay.
But I just, I don't know. I knew my husband 10 years. The day we got married, we had known each other exactly 10 years to that day. And then we were married for 11. I don't even remember. No, 15. I don't remember. So, you know, it just depends upon your chemistry with that person and how, if you're willing to work on things. But after a month, I cannot see myself calling and engaged. And I'm 50 and, you know, would like to be married again, but I could chill on that.
Would you say you could chill on that, huh?
After a month, no. No, ma'am.
You know what? I don't know. Like I said, you know, somebody on the outside looking in could say that, you know, I went into it really fast too. Like I said, I knew I met my husband through the job that I was working at. So we knew each other. But we didn't start dating until January and then of 2020, Lord have mercy, 1996. And then I got married in September. We moved in together in April. And then, yeah, I got married in September.
Wow.
And
yeah, that's quick.
It'll be 25 years.
There you go. It works for some people, I guess, but my issue with Portia is she just all over the damn place like some scrambled eggs, honey. She don't even know from the rooter to the tutor. She don't even know.
How did you say she all over here like scrambled eggs? Yeah, so I mean, I wish her luck. There are rumors that she is with child and maybe that's why they're getting married. I don't know.
Is it bolos?
On the low low though, I need to figure out how to get him at a party.
Look, invite me, okay? I will fly in.
yes, Lou, we may have to fly out there. We'll have to go to Vegas. Let's meet him there in Vegas because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Oh my god!
And let's not invite Kenya Moore because she will call your stuff out.
We ain't inviting Kenya.
Yeah.
Ooh, for that.
So I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess the question to our listeners is, can traditional relationships exist in a modern world? Maybe I think that's the question. You know, we want to know, what do you think? Are Robin and I just, you know, two old ladies on a podcast?
aunties, two right. aunties.
Right, you know, or is, you know, this new wave of relationships in the 21st century, you know, is it about being, you know, polyamorous and being open and free? We want to know. Let us know. Post on Facebook, tweet us, go on Instagram, let us know what you think. I don't know. I think the jury is still out. I'm not trying to get married again. And I'm going to just keep the one I got right now because I know him.
He knows me. Rock it out, girl.
Well, I mean, at this point, I know where all the bones are buried. So, and it's probably cheaper for us to keep each other right about now.
Cheaper to keep them.
Yes, yes. And, you know, if it doesn't work, I think I would just be a serial dater.
Nothing wrong with that, girl. Have some fun, right?
I think I would just be a serial dater. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know. You know, according to Kevin Samuels, maybe I'll just get a couple dogs and die alone, you know?
And that's the other thing with the Kevin Samuels thing. High value men is really only based on their income level, from what I gather. Is that correct? Because are we looking at morals? Are we looking at how you treat a woman respectfully? Are we looking at, you know, do I have to deal with all the trash, you know, that comes along with it? Are you a Christian? You know, all that stuff. What is really a high value man? Is it only income?
According to him, if I'm not mistaken, according to him, a high value man does have a six-figure income over, mm-hmm. you know, a considerable amount of time. So it's not like he just got six figures yesterday. He has to have mm-hmm. it for, I think he says, like 3 to 5 years. He has to be valued or recognized as a high value man by his peers or other high value men. So
it's a high value men's club.
Yeah, it is, really.
Okay.
It really is. So men determine whether or not other men are of high value. Yeah. So he's definitely very strong in his opinions on men and women. And he has very strong opinions. Yeah. You know, according to him, there would be no world if it wasn't for men.
Right. I think yes, because they've done everything.
Yeah. They can give birth and they can. They're asexual. I mean, that's what it is. They don't need us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, he has very strong opinions about, you know, a man's place and a woman's place. I don't necessarily agree with that, mm-hmm. but
it's just a very misogynistic philosophy to me.
And very old too. You know, I think you mm-hmm. can have, again, it kind of goes back to the, you know, traditional gender roles in a relationship, right? I think you can have those. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, maybe again, you need to be a little fluid too. I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to continue this conversation in another podcast and maybe bring on some guests too. You know, I'd love to hear what other people think. And also just what other people are doing too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, our people our age in polyamorous relationships. I know some that are in polygamy.
Polygamy.
I know some that are there, but are they practicing polyamorous relationships too? Yeah. In our age bracket, 50 and above.
We need to find some. Mm-hmm. We need to find some.
Yeah.
Well, we are at the top of the hour and it has mm-hmm. been another great show. So let us know what you think. Polyamory, polygamy. Are you a unicorn? Are you a traditionalist? Monogamy. Let us know what you think. Mm-hmm. And another great show, Miss Robin. I guess we will have to go in our traditional corners. Mm-hmm. having our personal summers.
We're going to knit some crochet hats or whatever.
Girl, my Lord. So guys, thank you for joining us for another wonderful podcast, and we will catch you next time.
Be good, everybody.
Deuces.